Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. Drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. Tonight, I am rolling K-Solo. So, of course, I want you to holler at me, 347-826-7435. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. As always, if you're too afraid to call, feel free to hit me up on email. SmoothDrama@SmoothDrama.com. You get me, I get you back. I got an email to read tonight, but if anybody else want to jump in and contribute with it, you can do it that way, or you can jump into the Flash chat and speak your mind. We got some strong stuff to talk about tonight, so it's all about being hard in the paint. Low post commentary, as always, turn around for the pivot dunk in your mouth. Oh, I don't know, should I say dunk in your mouth? Anyway, speaking of dunking in your mouth, last night's game, I mean, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Cleveland coming back. I can't say I was shocked, because LeBron James did some stuff that was just, I don't know. I have my feelings on it. I thought that the whole, He called me a bitch. And that's not right. I'm like, you know, there's trash talking in the game and you leave it on the court. Now, obviously, I guess that really hurt him. And he was like, I'm not no bitch yesterday, to the tune of 41 points. But that's without Draymond Green, who was suspended after LeBron steps over him, puts his nuts on Draymond Green's forehead. Now, for anybody who plays ball, that's like, nah, dog. You don't step over me putting your nuts on my head. That's just, nah. That can't happen. So, of course, Draymond swung like, hey, nuts off my head. But LeBron came out like, well, I'm taking the high road, you know, when everybody, Klay Thompson was like, well, I guess his feelings got hurt, them words. So I guess LeBron was mad, and he played mad yesterday. Now, my thing is this. Okay, so Draymond Green gets suspended. LeBron goes off for 41. Now, Draymond is going to be back tomorrow night. So, well, Thursday night. So, the question is, are you not going to be a bitch with Draymond Green playing? Because the precedent is set. You know, you've gone and threw down the gambit like, hey, you know what? I'm gangster now. I'm not no bitch. So, he got to play like that all the time, because Kyrie Irving is doing that. This is third game in a row with 30. He is balling out of control. LeBron has not been balling out of control. So I say, if he does it, and if Golden State clinches in Cleveland again for the second year in a row, now, there are going to be folks who are going to say, oh, yeah, LeBron's legacy, and he shouldn't be blamed, whatnot. But I just, from a ball player, no, I never played pro, but from a ball player's point of view, I mean, what he did was out of pocket, then complain about it, and then try to act like he was the high road. When you stepped over the man, put your balls on his head in the first place. if that don't happen, the other stuff don't happen. So you got what you wanted. You bitched about, oh, he called me a bitch. Whatever. Now, if he doesn't ball out of control for the rest of the series, what do you say about LeBron? I'm curious to see what happens Thursday night, because Golden State clinches again. What do people say? I know how I feel. I know how my homies feel. My homies, we got the same thoughts. But I'm going to reserve those thoughts for after the game Thursday, because I'll be coming on the air right after the game. So we'll know. And I will have my say either way. So we'll see how that goes. But I just have to say that I can't support LeBron and how he came across. Because, I mean, it comes across as really, really soft. And the fact that the league would co-sign on that, it gave those people who've always thought that there was conspiracy theories behind how the NBA reacts, because you suspend him in this series against Cleveland, but you don't suspend him in the series against Oklahoma City, where he clearly kicks the dude in the nuts. He kicked the dude in the nuts twice. And he knocked the dude down like 5 or 6 other occasions. That was fine. But LeBron James put his nuts on his forehead, and he's like, hey, don't put your nuts on my forehead. Stop acting like a bitch, and that gets you suspended. I'm just saying, I won't say it's a conspiracy theory. I'm just going to say that the coincidences behind that, kind of suspect. Sort of suspect. And that's all I got on that. But speaking of hooping, the Olympics that are supposed to happen in Brazil this summer, I don't know, supposed to start on August the 5th. But there are reports that scientists have found, and I quote them, dangerous drug-resistant super bacteria, not bacteria, super bacteria. We talking about bacteria with the cape and the tights and all that, just flexing on the beaches of Rio de Janeiro. And that's where they're supposed to be hosting the swimming events. And that's where there's supposed to be a lagoon where rowing and canoe athletes were supposed to be competing. And that has nothing to do with the fact that there was reports of Zika virus. So a lot of athletes have pulled out, because they're talking about sequestering the athletes and their family to the Olympic Village because of the Zika virus. At the same time, you're talking about the water, and I mean, do you trust the water? I mean, because this is not even Zika. This is super bacteria, as they call it, and this is from studies that were reviewed in September by scientists from the Interscience Conference on Antimicrobial Agents in Chemotherapy in San Diego. And they said it showed the presence of the microbes at 5 of Rio's showcase beaches, including the office front Copacabana, where the open water and triathlon swimming will take place. And then there was Ipanema, Leblon, Botafogo, and Flamingo. And supposedly this super bacteria is supposed to cause like hard to treat urinary, gastrointestinal, pulmonary, and bloodstream infections, along with meningitis. And they say, the CDC says, studies show that these bacteria contribute to death in up to half of patients infected. So, yeah, who wants to go to the Olympics in Brazil this summer? Raise your hand. I see you. I see you trying to raise your hand. No, nobody's raising their hand. I'm on my own. Yeah, that's what I said. And when I saw that there were athletes who were actually like saying, yes, I will go to the Olympics. I'm like, really? Like, really? You really want to go? I don't know. I think I'm going to boycott that one. I mean, at least that's what I would do if I was an athlete, a prominent athlete. Like, you mean I could die? I have to actually worry about Zika and super bacteria that's going to give me all the above mentioned stuff that I just talked about. Yeah, I think I'll pass too. And speaking of passing, as everybody knows, that judge who gave that light sentence to Brock Turner, I refuse to say his name. We'll just say asshole. Not only did Stanford graduating students lodge a protest against him at their graduation last week, but there are jurors who are refusing to serve under that judge. And there's a Stanford law professor who's leading a recall campaign against him. So I guess I'll say his name, Aaron Persky. So just in case you're in the Bay Area listening, and you get called in. Judge Aaron Persky is the name of the guy who felt like this guy who ruined a girl's life would have a severe impact on the guy who ruined her life. So he didn't deserve the time. But she had to suffer through that. So supporters of the victim have come out against him, and they're like, yeah, they don't even want to serve under him. One of them said, I can't be here. I can't believe what you did. I'm so upset. And he replied with, I understand, and he excused the juror. And they were talking about, because of what's been happening with the jurors who are refusing to serve under him, it's causing problems by prolonging the jury selection process, which of course hurts guys, you know, rights to speedy trials, whatnot. So I guess if you're innocent, it sucks. If you're guilty, it doesn't really matter. But yeah, they are protesting. That's why I love the Bay Area. I mean, because they just don't let injustice fly up here. It's like they're ready to protest at the drop of a hat here. It is some beautiful shit. Like, they like, we don't even want to serve under you. So Aaron Persky. Hopefully he gets recalled. I hope. I mean, if there's a petition to sign, if anybody here in the Bay Area knows there's a petition to sign, please let me know. I will sign it. And I encourage anybody listening, you're in the Bay Area, you sign that petition also, because guys like that, they need to get gone. It just, as you know, it's not right that they can recommend something and this judge can come in and say, you know what? Nah, he get 3 months. So against the will of the people, one guy will just overturn that. And as the people are showing, rightfully so, their will not be denied. I think it's a great thing. And I encourage anybody who's down to go ahead on and sign that petition and protest that guy also, because it's only right. And on that note, I think I'm going to take a break here. What am I going to do on break? I'm going to say happy birthday to one of the real MCs. It's not his birthday. Happy belated birthday to my homie, Kali. This is Kali. Huddle to the floor.
A little more than just a comedy. Let's get it started. Fire in the hole. Gunfire, it's a goal. Run tide when it's fun. Sun wide and it's strong. Baby fans for the vinyl. Like a drunk bum. Penis for a hollow cup of liquor. He just swallowed it and gone. So it's money on my mental. I gotta feed the fan. Got a 9 to 5 popping out aluminum cans. Side hustle just to make an extra dollar and a half. Money gone soon as I get it, so I gotta make it last. Ain't fast. Or I'm left this freeway on the tilt. Now they move in my direction and delay on the where I was built, swerving on the 110 south, with my people stay in the gutter like Oscar. I'm going to the pedal to the floor. Got my hands on the wheel, hitting corners on the floor. Can't stop, won't stop, that's the model where we go. Like a race car driver on the road. I put my foot to the pedal and the pedal to the floor. Got my hands on the wheel, hitting corners on the floor. Can't stop, won't stop, that's the model where we go. Like a race car driver on the road. Yeah. A killer on the track, that's proven. Never mind a high rhyme, I'm generating a movement. My generation moving. The homie Blaine said this is grown man music. We here to improve it. I know I'm alive while you're in the gas pedal, about to spark. The triple 20s when you're shooting darts. Maybe not the obvious pick. These days Blaine tricks catch a dang fade. Laid up quick, I put my money where my mouth is. I'm about this, keep it real. You the type to talk tough, call the flashes and squeal. I know the deal, suckers are lame. I had to throw the signal on and get up out of that lane. I'm on that dirty fish tank crap with no filter. Straight to the mic for the soul. Got your eardrums live with a blow. For the cash like a stash in a bowl. A maniac with a flow. It's Jack Torrance with an axe. I'm going to the pedal and the pedal to the flow. Got my hands on the wheel, hitting corners on the floor. Can't stop, won't stop, that's the model where we go. Like a race car driver on the road. I put my foot to the pedal and the pedal to the flow. Got my hands on the wheel, hitting corners on the floor. Can't stop, won't stop, that's the model where we go. Like a race car driver on the road. Trying to put my city on the map. My committee in this rap, really on the verge, making a break. I've been known to keep it gritty with collabs. And before 16, I murdered the scene. You made a mistake. Listen, homie, I'm a rider in the real, recognized by the fake. It's only phony saying, you know, me, always changing their stories. Won't let it faze me. That's loyal to the family that raised me. Hopped in walls and backyards while the horse chased me. They shoot boy, put me on records like he a needle. They falling out of the track like fat in the chick's speedos. I phase on boy, blaze your joints to stow the scene. Still your limelight and put it in my corona. I'm so long, oh, I know it's been a minute. In fact, you probably fears with a man of many hats. I'm back. Peace to uptown. Seed in 2013. What's up now? You listening for you? We blow a cup, sir. I'm going to the pedal and the pedal to the flow. Got my hands on the wheel, hitting corners on the floor. Can't stop, won't stop. That's the model where we go. Like a race car driver on the road. I put my foot to the pedal and the pedal to the flow. Got my hands on the wheel, hitting corners on the floor. Can't stop, won't stop. That's the model where we go. Like a race car driver on the road. I'm on the red light, it's on the green light, close the red light.
Together you got smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. That was the homie Kali. Happy belated birthday, brother. Pedal to the floor. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And of course, I got my background music going. Some Public Enemy. I'm feeling strong tonight. You know, I was fired up. I watched a little Unsung by my favorite singer, one of my favorite singers, Donny Hathaway. Rest in peace. Got me fired up. I'm feeling froggish tonight. So I guess I better leap. As everybody knows by now, we've been talking about that Orlando shooter deal. I mean, oh man, we know what happened. Guy goes up and shoots 50 people, kills them, injures another, 53. And we've seen everything that they've talked about. They put out the whole, oh, he was ISIS, and everybody's taking, oh, the terrorists and all this other stuff. Come to find out, the guy was actually somebody who frequented that bar for the last 3 years. Dude had a profile on a gay dating site. So it sounds to me like he was more just a confused soul who was going back and forth between living his life as a married man, hiding who he was as a gay man, and trying to juggle that with within the tenets of his regular life and his religion at the same time, which basically, you know, made him feel like he was an outcast. I'm not sympathizing with the guy, but when you look at the whole narrative, it's like he was just another guy, another person in this society in particular, who wasn't living their truth. He wasn't living his lyrics. He was lying on the low and being something that he wasn't. It sounded like he was just a gay dude who was stuck in the rigmarole, and it broke him, and he went crazy. Now, what's been crazy to me is not the Muslim thing, not the terrorist thing, because I expect that, you know. You always expect that. We in America, they're going to do that. I mean, like the little California pastor who, like, praised the massacre, talking about, yeah, they deserve what they got. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to say his name. But right after he posted the next day from his church it on YouTube, it's like men of faith who praise innocent folks for getting killed. I mean, because that's what's happening. I mean, folks are attacking these, and it's sad for me, because one, I'm sitting up here talking about it. I feel compelled to talk about it, because you start seeing folks start talking about, well, this happened and that happened and nobody cares about it. And I'm like, well, I think we're missing the point. It's a bunch of people who are dead that didn't do anything. They weren't a part of no religious sect. They weren't part of no political party. They were just folks trying to dance, have a good time. I mean, whether we agree with their lifestyle or not, these was just folks that they weren't doing nothing to deserve to die. I mean, I guess if you don't agree with the lifestyle, then I guess they deserve to die, as most folks are saying now. And I sit up here and I think about the family. You know, as somebody who, if you don't know, any long-time listener and anybody who's known me, I had a loss in the family, a couple of losses in the family last year. And when you talk about you lose a family member early, anyone who's lost a family member can relate. You all this other stuff, all this extra means nothing. And you know, some folks will say, well, hey, why are you defending it? And I'm like, I'm not defending nothing. I'm saying, let's take away the media's narrative. See, because you could be mad at the media. As we all know that the BS headlines, oh, the greatest tragedy in America. We like, yes, no. Because in America, we've had like thousands of tragedies. I mean, we could name them off, but to me, that trivializes what happened here. And I say it trivializes what happened here because it's just people are dead. Take the media out of it. Take how you feel about how they living out of it, because these were just folks just dancing, having a good time. They not bothering anybody, and they got killed because people don't agree with how they live, who they are. Period. That's it. Now, why is it important that we look at it from just the perspective of families grieving over their lost one and people who are dead because they did nothing wrong? You look at, I mean, we've had similar massacres, and it seems like every massacre, shooting, whatnot, I mean, we're labeling folks, oh, this person's terrorist, blah, 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 blah. Then we have different groups who will, I mean, like with this one, you see a lot of black folks are outraged. They're like, oh, it's not the worst. And then everybody's posting on social media, well, look, we had this tragedy, we had this tragedy, we had this tragedy, they're way worse. And it's like, yeah, we know that. Yeah, Rosewood, Indianapolis, Chicago, Black Wall Street. Hell, we only got 2 million maybe about 2 million Native Americans left in all of North America. So, yeah, it's tragedy. But folks who fight over what they think makes them feel better, I think it's wrong. I don't see it no way than a bunch of innocent people got killed. I don't need to compare. I mean, because who owns the media to put that headline out there that causes all the social media melee? The your oppressor, the person in charge. So if they put that out there, what is that saying? When you co-sign on it and you react how they want you to react, then you create acrimony with folks that there shouldn't be any acrimony with. I mean, at the end of the day, no matter what happens, no matter what the media writes, it should have been just like, damn, I feel sorry for the family. And that's it. There's nothing else need to be said. Because, you know, if somebody, if I'm not affected, all I can say is that it's wrong. But see, what's happened is, because we're so desensitized to what's important, and I hate to be sitting up here preaching, but it's like, what's important is the fact that something wrong happens. Now, there's conspiracy theories like it wasn't one gunman, because one guy that can reload, like, he'd have to reload like 3-4 times. I mean, yeah, I could see some extra. I mean, every one of these so-called terrorist attacks, they're all iffy, and they all shift public opinion one way. And then you throw out some stuff. I mean, like, you throw out the worst massacre, and folks are going to react a certain way. I mean, I go to the email from longtime listener and contributor Chalk. The media spent a lot of time talking about the endangered species silverback gorilla, yet nothing about the boat that capsized with refugees from Libya, and nothing regarding the floods in Ghana. Yet I see the coverage about the shooting at a gay club in Florida. And yeah. And it's right to call the media to task for that. Because, you know, silverback gorillas, it's a shame that it's an endangered species, but we know why it's an endangered species. It's because the same people who control this media are the same people who are hunting and killing these beautiful creatures for sport. But I'm digressing here, because what I see happening, and thank you, Chocolate, by the way, for the email. What you see happening is a framing of a discussion where the issue that's happening is not the issue. I mean, because the real issue is, why are poor folks mad at other poor folks' tragedies? Because the media not reporting it shouldn't be a backlash on that group. Because last time I checked, no matter what the group is that's getting massacred or persecuted, you're still being persecuted by the same person. It's still the same oppressor, regardless of what happens and when it happens. And I think we kind of have to take the high road. And when I say take the high road, I'm saying whether you agree with who and what they live, like how they live, you got to let that go and just say it's a tragedy. I mean, because it was a tragedy when the dude walked into the church and killed a bunch of black folks. It was a tragedy when the dude walked into the to the movie theater and killed a bunch of people just to watch the movie. It's a tragedy. I mean, it's so many shootings and killings that for us, as I said earlier, we're so desensitized to it that it's like every day for us. It's so normal where we don't focus on the hurt and the pain and how wrong that shit is. we're kind of programmed to just brush it off. I mean, we brush murder off real easy here in this country. Real easy. I mean, because they're lamenting that there's a serious problem. And I mean, folks will go into the campaigning for gun rights, but I mean, it's an attitude. We have an attitude and an atmosphere of hate. That we don't help by co-signing on your oppressor's agenda. And I say your oppressor because it's your oppressor. It's the person who controls the media and controls everything that put this stuff out and put the divisions out. I mean, I ain't sitting up here singing Kumbaya. You have these different agendas by different groups, and everybody wants to say, hey, my group is important, and that's true. I just wish that folks would just recognize that, well, hey, if you got folks that are killing people and that's the issue, how can we stop that from happening? So that nobody gets killed unnecessarily because you just don't like who they are. I mean, it's the American way, obviously. I mean, we live in America. That's what happens. Black, white, poor, everybody gets it. I mean, it's just certain groups don't recognize that they're on the firing block too. I mean, we could be honest about it. You know, black folks, we know, yeah, America does love us. It's poor white folks who don't understand that America, the American elite, does not love them either. You know, so when you talk about privilege, like we talked about the judge who let Turner off because Turner was a privileged youth from a family with influence and affluence. If he was just a poor old regular guy, he does not get off. That's very important to understand. I mean, because we do the comparisons of the black athlete who would get 6 to 9 years, and this dude gets 3 months. But once again, influence. Plays a huge role in it also. Now, obviously, we know that, you know, a white Caucasian person would have more cachet and will get off. But a lot of the poor ones, they don't understand that. And I mean, yeah, we know it's inherently unfair. It's going to be inherently unfair. But do we stoop to their level and not play the game the way they want it played? I don't think we should. At least I know I don't want to. I mean, because if I'm going to be like my oppressor, how am I ever going to be free? I mean, that's kind of what's happening in integration. Instead of just enjoying the same rights that you were entitled to, you're now like your oppressor. And you talk and speak and think like your oppressor. So, yeah. Ghana, 8 dead in the flood. And it was in the Kwame Nkrumah circle, which was flooded actually last year with over 150 dying. Something else that didn't make it into the news. But of course it did. If they don't care about the black folks in America, who's going to read the article about black folks dying in Africa? Nobody. I mean, at the end of the day, they're trying to get clicks and eyeballs. do you get clicks and eyeballs by talking about people that nobody cares about outside of their neighborhood? I mean, we know it's wrong, but that's what it is. I mean, it's just like the Libyans, the Libyan boat that capsized. Yeah, I saw it. And the funny thing is, I didn't see it on any American news channels. Well, I did, but it was like on the Wall Street Journal news site. I saw the video. It wasn't really a mainstream news thing here in America, but once again, if they don't care about the black folks here, they damn sure ain't gonna care about the black folks in Africa. I mean, you believe that's what's gonna happen? I mean, if you believe that can happen and they're down for black folks here, I definitely got some land to sell you. Anyway, I'm going on break. I done ran my mouth way too long. This is Ghostface Killer. Food.
Smooth drummer.
All right, welcome. welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Ghostface Killah, Food. Because, you know, you need a little food for thought. Speaking of food for thought. Talking about Libya. Why you got all these refugees trying to leave Libya? I mean, this is a new phenomenon. You never had refugees from Libya before, but for some strange reason, after we liberated the Libyans from their despotic ruler, Muammar Gaddafi, crazy fighting everywhere, which was unheard of before, and everybody's trying to leave. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but how bad is a guy I need to rephrase that. It's not even about how bad is the guy. It's like United States goes in and frees the people. And your country's free. We've killed the despot that's been holding you down and making you prosperous. And your life's peaceful. And now you have the freedom to go out and kill each other and destroy your country, which is what they're doing. And everybody's trying to leave. Thus, you get what happens. Yeah. That's the price of freedom right there. And freedom from despots. And now, the United States are not offering the Libyan military aid to oust the quote-unquote Islamic Front state because they want to avoid backing a single militia over others because they want to be invited in by a government with broad support, meaning we want y'all to all kill each other, and once you're all done, we're going to come in and take over and hold your oil down. Allegedly. Yeah. In the meantime, Speaking of tragedies, also, Christina Grimmie of The Voice. I didn't know her. I never watched The Voice, but you know I heard about her getting killed in Orlando. The dude traveled. 21-year-old white male. Not stereotyping, but it just seems like that's who's doing these shootings. Traveled from another city in Florida with the intention of killing her. She had just wrapped up her show, and she was shot late Friday signing autographs and meeting fans. And, you know, the suspect shot and killed himself after he was tackled by her brother. She died 5 hours later at an Orlando hospital. And, you know, it's another one of them cases where you talk about people hate people, want to kill people that they don't know. You know, I'm going to take the crazy off because, you know, there are some folks who are crazy, touch, whatever, but they don't manage to kill anyone. They're just crazy. They're crazy on their own terms. They're not out there killing. I mean, it's like, why do people hate people? Like, I don't like certain rappers' music. Like, I don't like Drake's music. I don't like a lot of these guys' music out nowadays. I wouldn't kill them. You know, I could despise their music in anything that they make, but as far as I'm gonna go and travel and kill somebody, or go and cuss them out, and I don't understand that logic. I'm trying to get why people hate people that they don't know, people who have not said a bad word about them, laid a finger on them, nothing. I mean, like this Christina Grimmie. What does she do to deserve to die? but sing a song that some people like, and this dude's like, and he's probably one of them cats that sent her a love letter. She rejected it, and it's like, I gotta kill her because she don't want to be with me. And the sad thing about this is the, I think Ice-T was talking about the pussying of men. And I just say the softness, the pussification, I think he said, of society and men in general. And I mean, we know he says pussification because if you've ever been in a vagina, you know it's really soft. But I'm digressing. The point is, hey, nobody can take rejection nowadays. You know, the days when you could say no to somebody, and I mean, we know that happened to, I believe, Selena. She had one of them crazy fans that just stalking her, like, I got to have her, and you know, all the folks behind Justin Bieber and celebrities in general. You have folks that wanna kill folks and hate folks just because. And it's because the softness that's pervading in society, and softness is mental. Folks can't take rejection. Folks don't know how to talk to people. And something that Martin Luther King said a long time ago, disagree without being violently disagreeable. That's just the facts. You can't, these dudes don't, and I won't say just dudes, I mean, I just say society in general, the interpersonal relationships where folks can't just talk to each other. You can't converse and have a disagreement. And I started off talking about LeBron James. I mean, because in my generation of watching ball and playing, you know, dudes being called a bitch, whatnot. I mean, yeah, you ball out on them. And yeah, sometimes there was fights, whatnot, but it was like, well, hey, you leave it on the court and that was it. But we can't leave our disagreements where they belong. And so we have this craziness. I mean, where we're on the wrong side of the ledger. Speaking of wrong side of the ledger, this Joel Jones, he reportedly raped a woman to get to prison to go after his son's killer. This is the craziest story I've ever heard in my life. He talked to some lady, answered the Craigslist ad, and upon meeting the woman, he lured her into the building under the guise of offering her a job with his cleaning company. Instead, he viciously rapes her at knife point and then called 911 on himself because it was his plot to get arrested and go to prison only to go after the man who killed his son. Now, to some folks, as you know, it's, I guess it's justice. And in his head, it's some form of justice. Like, yeah, I'm going to go to jail and I'm going to get this dude who killed my kid. But I'm like, you ruined somebody's life? I mean, that's where we at? Now, I mean, it's by far the sickest thing that I've ever heard. Now, conversely, you have the brother from New York who who the guy tried to rape his wife, and he beat the shit out of him, and he went to jail, which he shouldn't have. But the point is, I can co-sign on that. Because, hey, dude is raping. I mean, I'm down with him. Now, him going to jail is a travesty of justice. Because anybody break in to your house and is trying to rape your wife, woman, whoever, and you defend that, you should not go to jail. This other guy with the sense of justice that I'm going to rape somebody. I mean, why not just rob a store? You know what? I mean, the sensibilities of raping somebody, doing something that heinous so I can go to jail to right a wrong. And he goes to jail and it's fine. I'm like, but if, and more than likely, depending on, and I guess that it was another black man, so they'll probably leave him in the same cell block so they can handle it and just be another sad enemy. Well, not necessarily sad, because when it comes to violent criminals who don't have a regard for people, I can't say I necessarily feel sorry for them. But at the same time, I have a thought in the pit of my stomach. It's just a bad feeling when you hear this kind of stuff. And this is what I was talking about earlier. When bad shit happens, it's just sad. I don't ever want to not feel it. I mean, the day when I don't feel sad about this type of stuff happening, it's probably the day when I don't need to be on this earth any longer. It's just something that I try to challenge myself to it, and I try to hold myself to this standard, because we can't be unfeeling. Because when you become unfeeling and you just go through the motions, I think that's when we've lost our humanity. And I challenge all the listeners, try to catch yourself and not to be this unfeeling, non-human being that this society is trying to change us into. Because this is where we're at. Video games, virtual reality, people rather being with their technology than being able to converse with human beings, it got us to where we are right now. What Malcolm called that chicken's head home to roost. On that note, I want to thank all my listeners for listening. And I am Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth Drama production. I'll see you Thursday. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.